5 months after the close of the First World War, Arthur Ransom, returning from a fact-finding expedition to Soviet Russia, cleared customs at Newcastle, boarded a train for London, and alighting at King's Cross Station was politely informed by a plainclothes detective that he should consider himself under arrest. There had been little fuss over the matter. Within 20 minutes, he was sitting in Scotland Yard being cross-examined by one of the most powerful officials in the country, Sir Basil Thompson, head of Special Branch. On the face of it, the position could not have been more serious. Thompson, also known as Spycatcher Thompson, was a man of appropriately conservative convictions. As Deputy Prime Minister of Colonial Tonga, his closest friends had been cannibals. A far more estimable person, he claimed, than the town-bred, missionary-educated native. Later, as governor of a series of notorious British prisons, he had attended every hanging and remained an enthusiastic proponent of the death penalty. Since 1914, under the Defence of the Realm Act, Thompson had enjoyed sweeping powers to arrest, interrogate, and prosecute any person deemed a threat to national security, including German spies, pacifists, Irish revolutionaries, and in recent years, a species he viewed with special loathing, Bolshevik agitators. It was therefore unfortunate that amongst Ransom's papers was a letter signed personally by Lenin, providing access to the entire Bolshevik administration, together with a diary detailing his recent trip to Russia in the most glowing terms. As correspondent for the Radical Daily News, Ransom had already established his reputation as one of the most notorious apologists for Bolshevism, both at home and in America, where his articles were printed with a health warning attached. Since the Bolshevik coup in 1917, he had applauded the suppression of Lenin's political opponents, condemned Britain's attempts through military intervention to remove the Soviet government by force, interviewed the founders of the Bolshevik secret police, original forerunner to the KGB, and found them to be men of unimpeachable integrity. It was a disgrace, Ransom had insisted, that others were not in Moscow at that very moment, taking the measure of the gigantic experiment which Britain, as a nation, was permitting to pass abused, but not examined. On the 4th of March, he had been the only British correspondent to attend the inauguration of the Third Internationale, the so-called Comintern, established by Lenin to foment revolution abroad. In the early weeks of 1919, Britain had contended with a mutiny of sailors in Folkestone, waiting to be demobbed, and in Scotland with a self-proclaimed Council of Workers, or Soviet, which briefly took control of Glasgow before 10,000 English troops were sent in to restore order. In Paris, at the Quai d'Orsay, the Allied leaders were hammering out a peace in the teeth of widespread revolution in Central and Eastern Europe. "We are running a race with Bolshevism," President Woodrow Wilson had declared, "and the world is on fire." It was Thompson's own belief that communism threatened the very roots of Western civilization. And yet, seated in Scotland Yard, with the evidence spread out before him, he saw no immediate grounds for prosecution. Ransom, very tall and thin, with an unruly red moustache and wire-framed spectacles, doubtless resembled a revolutionary. He certainly wrote like a revolutionary. In February, his name had been raised repeatedly during a senatorial investigation into Bolshevik propaganda in the States. In England, the Home Office had agonised as to whether to permit him back into the country at all. But Ransom did not talk like a revolutionary. His godfather was Sir Arthur Ackland, former Minister of Education under Gladstone. His closest friends and family were Conservatives and Liberals. He was an ardent patriot, a keen sportsman who spent his weekends yachting and angling. He had never been, he assured Thompson, a communist, or even in any practical sense a socialist. If he admired Lenin, it was for reasons entirely consistent with his rugby education. The Bolsheviks were the only viable government capable of preventing Russia from sliding into anarchy. In short, after a frosty start, these two, both public schoolboys, both contemptuous of narrow bureaucracy, both men whose careers had materially benefited from the war, found themselves agreeing on almost every point. Thompson looked forward to Ransom's history of the revolution, and particularly his portraits of the Soviet leaders, of whom so little was known in England. He listened eagerly to his account of the inauguration of the Third Internationale, and thought it interesting, even funny. Within a few years of their interview, Thompson, knighted for his services to the Empire, would be forced to resign his position over a nocturnal encounter with a prostitute in Hyde Park, subsequently turning his hand to detective novels. Ransom, in the meantime, went on to become one of the most famous authors in children's literature. Later, he would recall his arrest with bewildered amusement. When Thompson had asked him what his politics were, he had answered, "Fishing."